just flow as the Lord leads us. Amen. The Lord has never changed. Amen?
Amen?
God has never changed and He will never change. Amen?
Amen?
He is the same as far as yesterday can ever be. And as far back as yesterday is, thousands and millions and timelessness, God has never changed. And He is the same now, today, and He's going to be the same forever. Amen. That's who God is. So if God has never changed and is the same yesterday, is the same today, and is the same forever, He has promised us that with Him, all things are possible. Amen? So when we read the pages of this Bible from timing, and we read it to where we are today, and we read it to where God is taking us, you will see that there is nothing impossible with God. Amen? Because He's God. And God is always present. So if God is the ultimate solution to life, God is the ultimate provider of life, God is the ultimate source of everything life, God is every solution, every peace, every blessing, everything that we can ever imagine, God is. I want to share with you this morning two things that leads us to an encounter with God. Not just an encounter, but to knowing Him and experiencing Him the way He desires for us to experience Him. God did not create us to make us a robot. In other words, a robot. God didn't create us to impose, to force us to do things. God created us in His own image and gave us a free will. And that will that is given to us is for God to allow us, each and every one of us, to really see if we need Him or we don't. Now, you will say, everybody needs God. That's true. So with this free will, we all have a choice. But there are two things that will always lead people who really desire God, who really want Him, who really are desperate for Him, who really want to encounter Him, two things will always part the way for them. There might be more, but there are two things. Hallelujah. Everybody say desperation.
Desperation.
Everybody say devastation.
Devastation.
Two D's. If you leave man to himself, he will have nothing to do with God. Our will drive us through life. We just do everything else we want without God. So God in His mercy brings us to Him. Let me give you a few examples before we read some scriptures tonight, this morning. You all remember the story that I always share about the prodigal son. This father had two sons. They were living with him, but they didn't really know him as their father. They know him figuratively as a father that gave birth to them, but they didn't really know him. The one that finally came to know him was after devastation. We all call the story of the prodigal son. What caused him to finally, he's been with his father all along, and later says he wants to live his own life. What caused him to eventually receive a revelation who his father is? It was when he lost everything. He came to his senses and he realized there is something about his father that he never knew, and it's time now to go back to the father's house. Even if he has to be a servant, he knows it's time to go back to the father's house. Because in the Father's house, there is everything you want. He is the solution, is the answer. He has everything. But something always takes us away until devastation comes. In the days of Noah, God saw that man has been completely distracted from him. Man has completely lost focus of the reason that why they were created. Man has chosen completely his own ways. So God said, this generation, I've completely corrupted their ways. I will begin a new generation that will seek after me. But God gave them an opportunity. He told Noah to let that generation know that a devastation is coming. A devastation is coming. So when he let them know that a devastation is coming, he wanted to show them their heart. He told Noah, you are going to prepare something that will be a source of protection, a source of provision, a source of security, a source of preservation. And that was the ark. Noah and his family were desperate. They prepared the ark. But that generation did not pay attention to what the solution was, what was needed. What forced them eventually to see all along what they needed, what they have avoided, what was going to be the source of their security and protection and provision, can only come to them, to their senses, after devastation. But unfortunately, in the days of Noah, it was too late. But devastation finally pointed them to something they have ignored all along, which was the ark. You see, the love God has for us is not the love of man. Amen?
Amen.
The love man has is very selfish. You have to benefit me. You have to be close to me. You have to be something to me for me to be a blessing to you. No, but God's love is unconditional. God cares for us more than we ever care for ourselves. So God's love for us is not only unconditional, but God's love for us is the riches of heaven. Amen? So what will make us avoid this riches, this glorious riches of heaven? Avoid this great love, this security, this unconditional love, this caring God, caring Father, everything that God represents. What will make us leave everything about Him until something happens and points us to Him? So two things that always draws those who truly are called of God back to God. One, desperation, and the other is devastation. I want to read, let's open our Bibles and look at Luke chapter 11. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, he started in verse 5 and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his joining has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistency, because of his desperation, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And then Jesus says, I say unto you, ask and you shall be given, seek you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. Let's look at another scripture. Let's open to Mark chapter 5. The book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll read from verse 25. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and has suffered many things of many physicians, and he has spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd, in the press, that crowd, and said, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" Verse 34, it says, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." Let's read another scripture, because I want you to see this. Let's open to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I read from verse 46. "And they," that's Jesus and his team and his disciples, "came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people with him, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him," you know, opposition, charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal. He cried even the more. He was desperate. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, amen, that's faith, rose, came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou I should do for unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Thank you, Father. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. Speak to us by your Spirit. Give us understanding. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your Spirit, your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. To these, in the whole of Israel, in the time of David, it wasn't like they have not read the Bible, or they didn't know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there's something about man becoming so familiar with God, and becoming so familiar with the things of God, that we forget we have flesh. When we become too familiar with God and the things of God, our own flesh becomes complacent. Our soul becomes complacent, and we become spiritually asleep. And we begin to lose the purpose of why God has called us out of the world. You see, in the days of David, that was what has happened to Israel. So, David, at a young age, purpose in his heart, he was going to find God. This young man became so desperate for God that the life of David, you've heard me share a lot, but for the purpose of what the Lord wants to say to us today, the life of David is the most, one of the most powerful example and illustration of one who exemplified what it takes to find what you need, and that's God. David purposed in his heart to find God, and so he placed God as the one thing, the only thing that he needed. Psalms 27 talks about it, but in Psalms 42, Psalm 63, you will see the desperation of David there. He says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul thirsts after you. Psalm 63 says, David says, my soul longs for you. My flesh, everything in me cries out for the living God. When will I come before him? He says, my flesh, everything cries for God, that I might know him, I might experience his power. For his loving kindness is better than life. In the New Testament, there was a man by the name of Saul. He was very religious and complacent. But when he encountered Jesus, he purposed in his heart. He was another example of the power of desperation. Paul purposed in his heart and went after God with everything in him. He sought God with his life, with everything that is in him. That Paul says, he used the word I press. He used the word that he sought so much after God that he considered everything he owned, everything he is, as trash. To gain God, to win God, to find God, to experience God, to know him in the power of his resurrection. So all through the Bible, you will see people who have been given the stewardship, the privilege of knowing God. But a few people devote themselves to a desperate life of knowing him, of walking with him. You see that in the life of Daniel. Daniel was so desperate for God that the Bible says he sought after God three times a day. He was the busiest man, carried, wed so many hearts, serving so many leadership, in a very critical position in government. But he devoted his desperation to the presence of God. He was in God's presence three times a day. So the first thing I wanted you to see through the scriptures are the examples of people who changed their generation, who changed the DNA of a whole generation, of a whole culture, because they found God. Who knew that God was the absolute change to the society? God doesn't just come and change things. He's here. God uses people. He has made it that way. So in the prayer that we just saw now, it started with Jesus. After 30 years of manifesting and in this flesh, as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, being who he is, the disciples watched him doing a lot of things. And at this point, when they see him pray, they see changes, they see breakthrough, they see things happening, they see miracles. They knew without a doubt, this is the Son of God. He's really from God, because they experience the evidence of the glory of God upon his life. So here they asked him a question. Teach us to pray. In other words, how do we really find this God that is your Father? How do we embrace him? How do we, because you see, God is giving all of us a will. He can't force us. Amen? how do I have this relationship? How do I really find God? How do I experience him? How do I become one with him? How can I so know him that he can use me to be a blessing to my generation, to make a difference in the time that I live in? How can he become my refuge, my strength, my deliverer? How can he become the solution of everything in my life? Because he's God. How? That's through prayer. But Jesus, after teaching them the process of prayer, he gave them the key. And in the key that he gave them, he said, you can pray, you can do everything, you can read the Bible, you can do everything, but this is the key that will bring you or will cause you to really have an encounter with God, experience with God, a sustaining lifestyle of walking with God. It says the story of the midnight cry. He said, he used a physical example of somebody who wanted bread. Now, what caused the person to want bread? The person has somebody that was desperately hungry and was in a position without that food, he would die. And he came that night, so late. So this person, this friend, left his friend that is about to die without food. But he knew, I want you to pay attention to what the Lord is going to say to you tomorrow, this morning. He knew that there is bread here. And he knew who has the bread. Listen, Jesus was giving an example how to find God and how to obtain breakthroughs. He knew there is bread here, and he knew his friend had bread. So he left here. I was heading here for bread. He got here and he started knocking for bread. I need bread. He kept knocking. And he heard a voice from the outside saying, you're not going to have it. It's too late. It's not going to happen. I am asleep with my children. You came at the wrong time. You're not going to have it. Watch the pattern of the blind man and the woman with the issue of blood. The same thing that keeps people from this bread man is the same people thing that keeps people. That key was, he knew there was bread in there. So he says, I won't give you because you came at the wrong time. He could have insulted him to come waking up his children. But this man was desperate. And that desperation was referred to in some of the stories as aggressive faith. It says, your faith was exchanged in this prayer Jesus taught the disciples. Perseverance, desperate perseverance, he was referring to the power and the strength of prayer is faith. But he illustrated it. So, he kept on. There was opposition. What I'm expecting has not happened. What I'm believing has not happened. What I'm asking is not happening. But I know it's there. I know it's there. If I don't stop asking, I know I will go home with that bread. But instead of going home, he was there. It could be a day. It could be a month. It could be 2 years. It could be however long. But listen to the word. What he needed is there. So he kept on knocking and kept on knocking. It doesn't matter how long. This was the key. It became obvious to the person on that side that if I don't open this door and give him bread, that man will not leave. Faith doesn't have an option. And you soon see where this is going. The man has to open that door and give him bread, because this person is saying, as long as there is bread there and it's bread I need, I cannot live what I need. Where else can I find it? Where else can I have what I'm looking for? I already know it's there. Why will I leave? So I'm going to stay here until you give me bread. So he kept on until he says, Jesus said this. This is God speaking. He did not open the door because they are friends. He opened the door because this man's desperation will not give him rest. Desperation. He opened the door and gave him as many. Probably he gave it to him with anger. Amen. Hallelujah. So we look at David, we look at Paul, we look at Daniel, we look at these people who brought heaven to their generation. They were desperate and they were persistent. They didn't care if how long it took, how many years it took. They pursued God until God took over, because all they wanted was God. Because they knew is the one thing that has never changed his character, and that character is love, and always solves the problem of man. So we look at another story, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, God, if when God shows you something over and over, a pattern, you know that is his way. He's saying something. So after Jesus told this story, gave this illustration, there are a few examples in the Bible where people didn't know what they were doing, but they didn't realize, they didn't know it was faith they were exercising, until Jesus told them, you just manifested faith. All they knew was that Jesus had what I need. I've heard that this man opens the eyes of the blind. I've heard that there is nothing impossible with him. There were a lot of people around him. There were a lot of people following him. But the blind man said, I know what he can do. I know he has the capacity, ability to do it, like that bread. So when he heard that Jesus was in his proximity, Jesus was there where he can ask, he can seek, he can obtain what he's looking for, he cried out. Everybody say he cried out. In his desperation. Before now, notice he's never exercised desperation, because he has never been close to what a solution will look like. But this time, he is right there, like the person that was looking for bread. He is right there. He knew there is bread, because healing is a children's bread. He knew that Jesus was the answer. Amen. So he cried out. Now listen to this. As he started crying out, the people around him were telling him to stop. How many times do we begin to seek God, or to believe God, or to radically trust God for something? Maybe it's gone a year, or it's gone 2 years, and immediately we start hearing voices. Sometimes it's our flesh. Sometimes it's our mind. Sometimes it's the situation telling you, stop. Just stop. Listen to this. As long as the bread is there, as long as Jesus is there, the blind man said, I will cry out louder. And he kept on crying. He kept on crying until the Bible says Jesus stopped. Amen. And he had access to exactly what he needed. His eyes was open. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. this woman, we thank everyone, say thank God for doctors. Doctors are God's mercy to every generation. Because without doctors, who knows, many of us will not be here to walk the work God has called us to do. I'm not saying you depend on doctors, but I'm saying before some of us even knew anything about faith or trust in God, God used them to show us mercy. Amen? This woman, the Bible says, has suffered many things in the hands of doctors. In other words, she had a problem doctors could not solve, but the doctors were doing their best to solve it. So she has gone through a lot and her money is all gone. Amen? So finally she heard that Jesus was in town. Amen? Now, when I'm talking about Jesus, we're talking about God. We're talking about the ultimate solution. We're talking about something that is impossible to fail. It's impossible to fail. What you're looking for is in Him. So he heard that Jesus, the solution, the healer, the miracle worker, is in town where she can reach them. But there were so many people. But she was desperate. She was desperate. In her desperation, she pressed through the crowd. And she pressed. Remember, there are so many reasons why she wasn't supposed to be around people. But she was desperate. And she pressed. The Bible uses the word twice. Pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed through the crowd. And she said, if I can only touch him, I will be made whole. If I can only touch him, I will be made whole. And when she pressed through, remember, desperation, she pressed through. Jesus looked at her and said, who touched me? You all know the story. They were talking about too many people there. How do you know? But he knew that that woman has touched power. He has touched God. Something has touched God. What touched God? To the woman, I am desperate. And I will not let anything stop me because I will press through until I get there. But to Jesus, to God, the one who saw what the woman was really doing, says, woman, your faith has made you whole. So, let me add one more that we didn't read here. Jesus told this story again about a widow woman. That this woman was violated, or whatever happened to her, her rights were taken away. But she knew her rights. But she also knew that there is one source for her to be vindicated, and it's a judge. And she believed so much in her right that she knew the only person that could justify and give her her right was that judge. And the Bible says the judge is heartless, is wicked, but the woman knew her right and knew what she wanted. As long as there's a judge and she knew her right, the Bible says the woman was desperate for justice. And she persevered. She kept asking for justice and kept asking for justice and kept asking for justice and kept asking because she knows that man has the power to give her justice. But the man is heartless. Remember, Jesus was also telling this story about the prayer of faith. And he used the physical example of desperation. And so the woman was desperate and kept on. The Bible says the judge, the wicked judge, shifted his position and said, if I don't do something, this woman will wear me out. And so the judge turned around and granted her justice. And Jesus says, how much more the creator of the universe, the maker of the universe, the one who has no beginning, And the one, even when beginning was recorded, has never failed anyone. The one who has the power and has no limit. The one who created all things. He says that same God has never changed. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, how much more will your Father not, how much more will your Father grant you justice or answer your prayer or vindicate you or grant you what you're looking for? But he says, the key, he has to test your faith. Will he find faith? What is the faith? The faith is not the faith that just hears. Is the faith that has a corresponding action that says, I believe you, and I will not let go until. The Bible says the test in James chapter 1, the test of our faith is patience. It produces patience. We are living in the end times, and the Lord has been speaking to us in many, many ways. The days that we are entering now and the time we are in, God has provided a solution. He has provided everything that we'll ever need. He's provided every security we'll ever need. He's provided every finances we'll ever need. He's provided everything that we'll ever need. And that provision is in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's in him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just like the people of old, if we don't become desperate to enter into this provision is made, to know him and to enter into this place of security, this place of knowing him, this place of fellowship, this place of relationship, this place of knowing him out of desperation, out of seeking him extraordinarily, not just studying the Bible, but in prayer, in worship, in seeking him now, I want you to know that it's going to happen. We are eventually going to seek him and come to him through devastation. There is no two ways. It's either God is real and we, like David, we say, you are the one thing, you are my priority, you are my life, your presence is life to me, you are everything, and we create a lifestyle of personally seeking him, to know him, for him to become our security, to become everything. Psalms 91 defines exactly what God is to us when we find him. He becomes everything to us. Psalms 91. If we don't pursue him because of all the, you see, every one of the stories I told you, there were resistance, there were things standing in their way, there were things compromising them, seeking, there were so many things. If we don't seek him through desperation, that means we don't really believe he is what we say he is. The days we live in is going to force us to seek him. The days we live in are going to be, we already see what's happening, they are going to be more dangerous than this. You don't have to be afraid of anything, because God has already provided a place for us. But the days we live in is going to push us. It's going to cause us, like the prodigal son, to seek him. Why am I sharing this? To encourage you today. A few years ago, many, many different times, I had some very pressing needs. I pray like you, you know, we all pray, we all seek God, we come here, we seek after God, we pray. But I had a need I knew that no man could help me. There was a block, there was just no way. And I had to settle down and reflect. I said, okay, if this God of the Bible, there's nothing impossible, everything is spoken here, he can do it. I said, the only choice I have is God. And if I really have been serving him, I've been waiting and seeking on him, then I better seek him about this problem. So I went away in prayer. You see, these stories I told you is real. In prayer, you're going to hear voices. Is it going to happen? You're going to hear confrontation. It's not going to happen. You're going to feel maybe it's for other people. You're going to feel maybe this is not supposed to be that way. But the question is, there's nothing impossible. So I went away and I stayed there and I was seeking the face of the Lord and I sought the face of the Lord. One particular day, like this woman with the issue of blood, I touched something. And that breakthrough, I heard something. It's done. I didn't see with my eyes, but that woman touched something. The blind man touched something. The friend at midnight, the door opened. What he was looking for, he got it. Up in that place, I was seeking the face of the Lord. When that happened, I knew the breakthrough has come. And then I stayed a few more days. I came back. From that moment, God just orchestrated things, and that miracle took place. What do you think that did to me? It cost me not to have this God anymore in my mind in that level. I now know this God as somebody, not who I'm just reading the Bible, somebody who truly works miracles, who hears when you call, when you're desperate, when you're crying out, he is there, he is the answer. He did that. But like you all know, we are humans. Another problem came, and when this problem came also, it was impossible. So what do you say? You know, it's not the same like the other problem. So again, your flesh stands in the way. After processing and praying, I only have one choice. Is God or not? So I went away again to pray. And I prayed and I waited on God. And in this time, the Lord met me in a very special way. I had this experience with God, this encounter with the Lord, and it took me to another level of the reality of God. And I came out of that place with a breakthrough, and that miracle took place. I can give you examples here and there, and actually, let me share one other one with you. My younger sister is here. She just came from Nigeria with her husband. My mother was in a sick bed. And when we were coming, she told me more of the stories. I've heard a little bit of it before. She was, you know, when they medicate you, you are at the point where you're not responding anymore. I think what she told me, she was telling us in the car, she was no more responding. She was pretty much gone. How many days, how long was that? Huh?
7 days.
She wasn't responding to nothing. It was like gone. But they knew she was alive, but gone. But before that time, I called them. They were in the hospital. I told them, I said, I'm coming back. I will talk to her. I will see her. I don't know all that I told them, but I told them I was going to talk to her. I think when they left, she's just telling me when we were coming that she and my other sister said, does he really know that his mother is dying and is leaving? When I left the house, I went to go seek the Lord. I said, my mom can't die without me talking to her. So I went away. In that place of prayer, one particular, they were trying to hold me from going because they felt she's finished, she's going, so that way I can communicate with the family and talk. And but I knew she can't die. If God, so I went in prayer and I was seeking the Lord. At a very particular moment, the Lord told me, she's okay, she'll come back to life. And I finished, I came back. It was when we were coming back, she now told me the story how my mom came out of and told them where she was and what was happening during that period of time. And she just came out. And we talked, and we had so many, from that we had a lot of discussion and went through a lot for a long time before she left. Days or months, I don't remember how long after then. This story, I have experienced it in the area of finances. Impossible situations, bills to pay. Not that I can't just go ask people and just like blind Bartimaeus, please, I need help. You know, we have to do this thing. I said, I need to prove God. So I went into prayer and God pays this bill. Everybody in this house, we are all part of this aspect of prayer. Everyone in Mount Zion, we said it for more than a year, more than we said, God is going to give us a place we don't have to pay a dime. Everybody here knows that. And this whole house prayed. And we're waiting and praying and waiting. And today God gave us a place we didn't have to pay a dime. What, millions of dollars? There are many. One other time, I was going to prayer. My eyes was red like fire. When I say like fire, I don't know what happened to, I don't know what it was. But the people that were taking me to pray, they looked at me, they couldn't look at me because I don't know what it was, but my eyes was red. I don't know what infection, whatever it was. I was going to prayer and they were looking at me like, you're going this way instead of going to go see a doctor here or this. But what I was feeling and the way I was feeling, it wasn't the time. I was going to pray. And that could not keep me. The first night after prayer, I went to the mirror. I didn't see anything. It was all God. I can share little things here and there. There's so many, you all know, I don't like to share too much about testimonies. But I said this to say, we don't have to wait until we are in a devastating situation to know God. God is calling every one of us to develop a hunger, a desperation for Him, for His presence as our Father. Not what He can do for us that will force us to want to know Him, but just for who He is. He is God. He's our Father. You can't seek Him anyhow and find Him. You can't treat Him like, you just can't put Him on the shelf and lift Him where you want and think He will just open up Himself to you. You have to be desperate for God. You have to make time. You have to seek Him. All these other voices have to die down. You have to pursue Him to find Him. But if you choose not to, this is my message for you today. You will still find Him, but it's going to be through devastation. He will bring you to Him. So you make the choice today how you want to be close to God, either through desperation, through relationship, or you wait until you're forced by circumstances. Because God so loves us, He has prepared a lot for us. and he wants us to experience it. And finally, this word is for me. When I go through situations, it doesn't matter what it is. As human, God will do a miracle for me here. Tomorrow I have a need. I still, my, you know, you fear, you worry, and then you start seeking God. He does a miracle. Next day he does, another time he does a miracle. Finally, this season, something happened, and that's why I want you to know. The Lord spoke to me very clearly, said, it's a finished work. You don't have to be testing me every time something happens. Can I do this? Can I do this? Can you solve this for me? Can you ever do this? Every time there's one other promise, like, God, can you do it? He said, son, I have finished it, everything. It doesn't matter what you need. I finished it on the cross. But you have to enter into that victory. You have to enter into that finished work by faith. So now, I've made a covenant in my heart. I've settled with God that no matter what the situation is, God already has finished it. So it's now for me to yield myself to God, to come into that place of victory, into that place to sit with Him. And in that place, the finished work will begin to unfold. God will give me the breakthrough. And that finished, one of the key to entering into that finished place for you to touch Him, for you to experience a breakthrough, is worship. Now, it's not just the worship we do, like we're saying. It's called desperate worship. What's a desperate worship? That's what we're going to start doing, and that's part of why I'm beginning to share this message. Desperate worship is everything that I share with you today. Is the friend at midnight saying, I will not stop until I get bread. Is the widow woman saying, I will not stop until I touch Him. Is the blind Bartimaeus crying for mercy until God pays attention to your situation? Is the unjust judge, the widow woman, saying, I will not stop? And the Lord showed to me, He says, desperate worship is what is really true worship. What does it mean? We come here, we sing a few songs, we enjoy God, we pray, and we leave. We sense His presence. We experience a little bit of Him. We do this. But worship is, you worship until something happens to you. You stay in worship until something happens to you. I never go into my closet at home. I never go in and just come, unless when I'm tired, I'm really tired, I can fall asleep, things can happen. But every time I go in there, I don't come out until something happens to me. What do I mean, something happens to you? You touch Him. He touches you. That's worship. That's experience. Why? Because He's a person, but He's a spirit. So you stay in worship until those resistance, your mind, the food I'm going to eat tomorrow, or the shopping, or the business, or that problem at work, all those soulish things, they gradually start losing their place. And you keep saying, God, I love you Lord, I love you Lord, I praise you Lord, you are worthy Lord, there is none like you, I hope in your mercy, you You are my refuge. You are my strength. I have no one but you. I need you. I want you. You are my life. You are holy. You are worthy. You are faithful. I need you. You are the lover of my soul. I want you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. You just keep going. You keep going. It's like nothing is happening, but you're pressing. It's like nothing is happening, but you're pressing. What are you pressing through? God is already there, but your soul and your mind is standing in the way. The bread is already there. Jesus is already there. But the worship is faith. Faith is the desperation that sustains worship until you experience it. So when we come, He's here. We're worshiping. Everything you need is in Him. Every miracle, every breakthrough, every provision has already been defeated on the cross. So that finished work, as we worship, our spirit man, the Spirit of the Lord begins to quicken us, and we begin to lose sight of the soul and the physical realm, and we're beginning to soar in the spirit, even though you're in this body, but your spirit is getting more attention, and you get to the place where you begin to feel the tears, and something begins to happen, and you forget you're in the church in the midst of people. It's when you open your eyes, oh my God, I didn't know. You forget who is leading the worship. You have entered somewhere in Him. And then when you are there, He begins to give you songs. He begins to speak to you. He begins to say, son, it's going to be okay. Go to that trip. Don't travel or don't do this. Now is spirit relating to spirit. So the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit. In spirit. Not when the soul and the mind. And you can't break through the soul and the mind after 30 minutes of. Of course, the praise is wonderful. We dance, we celebrate. But when we get to the point where it's now spirit to spirit, we can leave this place. Many of you, you've seen it happen to us many, many times here. That's what happened. In Mount Zion, all of us are on the floor. We've lost the worship team. So let's get ready for that in our Sunday worship. Even during the week, it happens occasionally. But God wants us to be so desperate that time, our next schedule, the woman with the issue of blood wasn't worrying about things. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't worrying. We worry too much about, it's already 12 o'clock. That means you're not desperate for Him. Amen? Desperate worship. If you can't do it here, do it at home. You will never express a desperate worship that you don't encounter. It's impossible. That's what the Bible calls faith. The action that shows God, I can leave this place. I came for you. You're here. Why will I leave if we have not connected? Why do we come to church? We hear the word. We dance. We leave. To you, did you come to God or to me? That's where transformation takes place. So if you don't mind, I'm not putting time because we've already stayed time, but let's maybe 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes. You and the Lord worship is personal. And it becomes a congregation in the spirit, but it's personal. Amen. Just for a few minutes before we pray, close. Will you, just you and God, even if it's to pray what I just shared with you, God, give me the spirit or the worship of faith. Will you draw me closer? I don't want to know you through devastation. I want to know you through a hunger and desperate heart. Just you and the Lord. Personalize your worship with Him. Desperate for you, huh? Yes, you can sing that. Thank you, Lord. For you. Father, remove every obstacle in our soul and heart and create in us a hunger, a thirst for your presence. Your presence is everything. Father, may we not come to you only by devastation, but may we come to you because we're desperate.